Hi, this is Eddie from Big Ed's Barbecue in Waukegan, Illinois, and you are listening to the Geekcast Radio Network, sucker.
I wanna grow up on Toys R Us Kit. They got a million toys at Toys R Us that I can play with. I don't wanna grow up.
I'm a Toys R Us kid.
They got the best for so much less.
You'll really flip your lid.
From bikes to trains to video games, it's the biggest toy store there is. Gee whiz! Toys R Us kid.
Once a Toys R Us kid.
Always a Toys R Us kid.
We're now listening to Geekcast Radio and Toycast as we continue the Top 100 Toys Countdown. Today we'll be revealing entries number 50 through 26. I am one of your hosts, TFG and Mike, and not joining us as always is that rubber ducky loving Steve Megatron. His duck broke down, ladies and gentlemen. However, in a special clutch guest appearance, we have the hero of the Cybertronian Wars, the leader of the Autobots and Maximals, the true bearer of the Matrix, it's none other than Rodimus Primal.
Let's do it!
Didn't you want to say something about peace and concord in the galaxy?
Give me a break.
Alrighty, and we also have the ringmaster of our Top 100 Countdowns, the guy that does all the math, because I hate math. He is from the planet of KT Toys, it's none other than Mr. Optimus Solo, sir.
Introduce me as stunning Steve Austin, the ringmaster. Anyway,
no.
Yeah, we're back at it, revealing more toys. We're in the middle of our Top 100 Toy Countdown, thanks to all the folks that submitted list of their all-time toy countdown of their own, whether they submitted 50 or 100 or 75, it all helped to make this list. So far, we've revealed the top half or the bottom half, depends on if Steve's talking or if Mike's talking. We revealed 100 through 51, and now we're going to go 50 through 26, which will leave only one episode left, which is the top 25. So, Mike, before we get going, what's your biggest surprise so far as a toy that's been revealed in the first 50? Putting you on the spot.
Star Trek coming in at whatever it came in. Poor Star Trek. It gets no love.
Yeah, came in at 81. I was
it made the countdown, though. It did
make the countdown. And up to this point, we have had 12 board games. They're reigning supreme as far as the categories go. Action figures are lagging behind a little bit at 9, and then toys with wheels at 7. Those are like the top three categories so far. As far as time periods go, we've had 9 from the 1980s. We've had 12 from either the 1900s or before. And then in third place, I believe currently is the 1960s with 8 of them. So that's been some interesting categories and time periods, and then we'll have to see how the companies hold up. We'll give you an update of that as we make our way through, whether it's Kenner or Milton Bradley or Parker Brothers or Mattel or Hasbro, who's reigning supreme overall. So let's get right into the numbers for today. We're starting with a National Toy Hall of Fame finalist, but one that has not actually been inducted yet. This toy debuted in the 1960s from a company called Mark's Toys. And this is the classic Rock'em Sock'em Robot.
I can be any kid on the block. Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
They're slugging it out. A left to the jaw. And
oh, my block is knocked off.
But you can press it right back on. It's Rock'em Sock'em Robots. Press this lever. He throws a right. The other a left. Knock his block off. You're the winner.
Well, next time.
You can rock 'em, sock 'em with the Rock 'em, Sock 'em Robots by Marks.
So, Mike, what do you think of Rock 'em, Sock 'em starting off the top 50?
I'll knock your block off.
Rock 'em, Sock 'em is one of those toys that's more commonly broken than a lot of other ones. Like, I don't know if I've ever played a Rock 'em, Sock 'em that was 100% intact. But, Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, they took a few tumbles in the 80s. They really, really did. I love Rock'em Sock'em Robots. It was just so fun. It was, you know, one way to get your aggression out without actually hitting anybody.
Definitely a lot of fun.
I had like the cheap version of this. I didn't have the actual Rock'em Sock'em like setup, but I did have like these like hand puppet almost things that were similar, and it was like a ninja and something else where you could like punch with your like hand fingers.
That's not the same. You need the original. Like, so this is so funny and so weird. So back in 2019, yes, it was that long ago, folks, my late wife and I were going through Target or whatever, and we saw, like, 17 different classic 80s board games or things. They had a new version of Othello and Rock'em Sock'em Robots, and I almost bought the Rock'em Sock'em Robots.
Yeah, they've kept that going. They still have it. They have, like, an end cap that has, like, pound puppies and... mm-hmm. some of that type of stuff, so it's fun.
It changed colors over the years too.
Yes,
and like I think I remember there was the red and the blue one. I think nowadays you might see like a yellow and green one, and what have you. The other thing that I also appreciated was its legacy in other brands. You know, always going to go back to Transformers. So like in Beast Wars, when Rhinox and Inferno actually Rock'em Sock'em Robot each other. So,
yeah. Yeah. Classic. And to give you an idea too, the highest number of lists that we've had a toy appear on up to this point is Twister, which came in at number 77, which was on 14 lists. And then after that, I think Mousetrap was on 12 lists, and Jigsaw Puzzles 13, Lincoln Logs 12. So that's been the highest so far on the other half of the 50s. Everything today is going to be basically in at least 10 or more lists. And we're starting that with Rock'em Sock'em, which made it on 12 lists. So that's where we start today at number 50. Let's move on to number 49. And we're going to tally another mark in the category of wheeled toys. So in this situation, we're going to go back to 1955 and the introduction of the Tonka truck.
Let her go.
We took two of the world's toughest trucks. 400-foot cliff. And this is the truck made by Tonka,
which was a 2001 Toy Hall of Fame inductee, now owned by Hasbro, I believe, as are most toys. Tonka trucks at number 49. This was also on 12 list. Mike, what do you think?
I remember having the dump truck and I had the crane.
Yeah, I had a number of these, and I remember like most of the time that these were toys that I played with in like our sandbox in the backyard. Like it was take the dump truck and all the different like things that could transport or do stuff with sand and put them in the sandbox and watch them rust.
It's, well, yeah, and the reason why they rusted? It's metal, it's a lost art. Yeah, well, yeah, rain, but like, those Tonka trucks back then, all metal.
Yeah.
Yeah, so.
They were, for sure. So this is the, we had 7 wheeled toys before, this is the 8th one, so things that we've already had come up in the countdown that we're calling wheeled toys. We had skateboards, we had power wheels, we had the big wheels. Then last time on the last episode, we also had model cars, we had remote control cars, and we had matchbox cars. So Rodimus Primal, now we have Tonka trucks. Do you think those are all worthy, or what's the best wheeled toy?
Yeah, I mean, I'd say they're all worthy. Specifically, you know, yeah, like you said, Tonka trucks were all, everybody left their Tonka trucks outside. They all got rusted, you know, and everybody seemed to have a sandbox. Anybody with a Tonka truck, unless you either went to the playground to play with Tonka trucks when you were a kid, but you know that wasn't necessarily me. I was like
the parents, like they were so big that like where else were you? They were going to be outside, or they were going to be like in the garage, like
right.
You weren't bringing those inside.
No, especially if they're covered in dirt. Mom doesn't want that in the house.
Yeah, absolutely. All right, so from one classic to another, but we're going to go a little bit back further in time. So we had the Rock'em Sock'em Robots that were 1964-ish, Tonka Trucks 1955 era. We're going to go back to the 1930s, just barely, 1939, for one of those items that, Mike, I think just like the Pound Puppies and the Rock'em Sock'em Robots has made some appearances on the Target retro section. We actually bought my 3-year-old daughter one of these, and she loved it. She calls them her binoculars. But they're most commonly known as a Viewmaster.
See Masters of the Universe in a Viewmaster viewer. Know how we make it look so real? Viewmaster 3D artists draw lots of pictures. See? One in the back, one in the middle, and one in the front. When you see them all together in 3D, the characters look so real, you think you could reach in and touch them. With Viewmaster, you can collect lots of program reels on cards and in gift sets, like Smurf and Shirt Tales, each sold separately. ViewMaster gift set with 3D viewer and a Masters of the Universe adventure on three reels.
So that's ViewMaster from 1939 from Mattel. And they are an inductee. 1999, they made the National Toy Hall of Fame. So two back-to-back Toy Hall of Fame entries here. I love the ViewMaster. I loved the different types. I had like the Transformers reel and probably like the G.I. Joe reel. I think I had a He-Man reel. She's got one that's got like animals, and she loves going back and forth between the monkeys and the elephants and whatever else is on that reel. So she loves them. She only has two reels though. They like came with two discs. I'm like, that's it. So I got to find somewhere that has more discs or go on eBay or something. So
eBay,
Mike,
eBay is your number one. Literally, I was about to buy a ViewMaster 2.5 years ago on eBay. And I found a listing at that time where it was like, here's the ViewMaster and here's like 100 reels. I'm like, oh, okay. But I never ended up buying it.
Right. So do you think it's worthy here of being in the top 50?
Oh, yeah. They're all, whatever we end up being the final, they're all worthy. I mean, there are no unworthy toys here.
I think you could make some arguments against some that we had in the bottom 50, that whether they're worthy of being in the top 100 or not. I, as the only one that knows like what's coming up, I briefly scanned it at the end of last episode with Mike and Steve, and I don't necessarily think that there's too many arguments against anything that shows up from here on out, but we'll see. Maybe we'll get some in the comments.
Yeah, it's just where they're... Yeah, that's what I was... Yeah, he took my line. Placement, yep.
Yeah. Any thoughts on ViewMaster before we move on, Rodimus?
I remember having like a Ninja Turtle one. I had one for different, you know, all the different movies. They ended up having one or whatever, you know, stuff for the different viewfinder discs.
It just lent itself so well to just be adapted into all different kinds of properties and franchises and kind of keep that life going.
And even non like fictional stuff too. Like you'd see like those ViewMasters would be used for other things too. Like, learning stuff, they would, you know, a teacher would actually have one with a disc that had something important for us to learn or something,
right? Like monuments or whatever it might be, national landmarks, things of that nature. Absolutely. All right, so we have been going back and forth between the board games and the action figures on who it seemed like those were the two leaders as far as who's going to have the most entrance on this top 100, unless we have like a somebody come from behind here in this top 50. We haven't had any yet today, but we're going to put a tally in the action figure mark for number 47. Mike, you'll like this one. This is also going to be our first toy from a toy company called Bandai. 1981, we're going to go with Voltron.
Enter the world of Voltron, where thrilling adventures let you soar beyond the limits of your imagination. Where the valiant Voltron force merges together in their robotic alliance to challenge the might of King Zarkon's demonic minions and menacing machines. You can join this never-ending battle between the army of evil and the champions of justice, with the fate of planet Aris and the entire universe at stake. Voltron action figures, lions, and vehicles, each sold separately from Panache Place.
Oh, Voltron, nice. Here at number 47, not a National Toy Hall of Fame candidate or finalist or entrant yet, but Voltron here makes number 47. It joins the likes of the action figures we've had come before it, which is the Marvel action figures. We have had... Let's see, what else? We've had Star Trek, we've had Starting Lineup, we've had wrestling action figures, we've had Silverhawks, Battle Beast, Dino Riders. Mike, what do you think of Voltron coming in here?
Personally, I think it's a little low, but that's just my own personal opinion. But yeah, coming in at least above the top 50 line, that's awesome. I love Voltron. It was always one of those things where it was just so cool. And you could pick the line you wanted, the character you wanted, and you wanted to obviously eventually form Voltron. You had to catch them all, because that's, you know, it was way before 1993, I can tell you that.
I think with me, when I was voting on action figures, because like I've talked about with the board games, I had to select, I only had so many room for board games on my list, so I tried to like either the most iconic or something that was unique about it. I think Voltron does have in its favor like the whole assembling of the lion as kind of a unique feature. I do say, though, it's kind of a thorn in my side here, because I have like the Heroes Villains action figure collection that I do, where I try to collect the main villain and the main hero from so many different lines. And Voltron's throwing me a curve, because I can't, I have King Zarkon, and I'm not convinced of doing the whole Voltron like combined thing as the main hero. It would take up way too much room. So I don't know who I'm going with. I got to pick one of the characters, I guess.
Okay. So I'm sure we can discuss this off air at some point or another, but there are plenty, if you're just wanting a Voltron robot itself, there are plenty of like action figure statue type stuff. Like yeah. Where you just have the character itself.
See, one of my rules, though, is it has to be from the original toy line, and it can't be a reproduction or a statue or anything like that. So it's just not as easy as like Cobra Commander and Duke, or you know, Optimus Prime and Megatron. It's a curveball that's been thrown my way. But Rodimus, what do you think about Voltron coming in here at number 47?
I mean, as far as toys are concerned, of course I love it. It's like, you know, that Super Sentai, inspired kind of thing with Golion, you know, and of course Dairugger is where the two animes come from. You know, and that they, you know, that were used to form the Lion Force Voltron, the Vehicle Force Voltron. You know, as far as figures are concerned, I remember the original Bandai's, they were die-cast, and I never owned one, but I had a friend who did, and he was super protective of it. So it was like I got to see it in person, but never got to touch it, but loved the cartoon, and then became an adult, and then ended up watching Golion and went, I like Golion better. Even though I love Voltron's music. Yeah. So better.
Right. All right. But, so Voltron, the next action figure toy that comes up in our countdown. Let's move on to another classic from 1960. Number 46 on our countdown is going to be the 1998 National Toy Hall of Fame inductee, the Etch-a-Sketch.
You think this is magic? Watch this. The Etch-a-Sketch magic screen. Turn the dials and like magic, lines appear out of nowhere. But the magic isn't just in how you draw, it's also in how you erase. The one and only original Etch-a-Sketch from Ohio Art. Magic in a box.
So developed, I guess, originally in France, if you want to draw it all the way back, but obviously it's had a lot of different versions. The Etch-a-Sketch, or to me, like one of the most frustrating drawing toys of all time. Like I couldn't do what you see a lot of people do on the YouTube videos where they're just like twisting and turning away and all of a sudden it's a picture that makes sense. Like mine was just nonsense. But Etch-a-Sketch is definitely one of those classics, kind of like the Viewmaster here. So I'm definitely happy that it's in the top 50. I think it's every kid has played with an Etch-a-Sketch or seen an Etch-a-Sketch, it seems like. So I know there's more advanced versions that came out in later decades, and you had things like the Magna Doodle and different things like that. I never had one of those, but I'll go to the classic Etch-a-Sketches as kind of, I didn't put Magna Doodle on my list. I put Etch-a-Sketch there though, for sure. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I never had Magna Doodle, and Magna Doodle, from what I remember, the commercials, and no, Etch-a-Sketch is where it's at. And we all know from 1995, Toy Story, like Etch-a-Sketch was had a huge resurgence after, I think it was Toy Story 2 that it was in. They're like, Etch, draw that man in the chicken suit. Okay. And yeah, no, I love Etch-a-Sketch, and you're right, you can't draw a damn thing on those things, but it was still fun.
Yeah, people with more artistic skill than me can do it. But it also ties Twister now for being on the most list, on 14 list. Rodimus, what do you think about the Etch-a-Sketch?
I think the Etch-a-Sketch, of course, has a place in the Hall of Fame. My biggest issue with it was really getting the knobs to twist the way that I wanted to, which was always a chore, no matter what, no matter how you looked at it. And the worst was on car trips when, you know, you hit a bump and you lose the whole drawing. and I was like, all right, just give me a piece of paper and a pen.
right. You know. It's like the toy that most commonly is like given to a child that the child probably never masters, or they just scribble on it. And it worked for some reason. I don't know. Weird. Number 45, we're going to go to somewhere where we haven't gone in a long time, the world of stuffed toys. And in this case, it's the classic from the 1980-81 era. I think this was originally introduced by Kenner. This is the world of Care Bears here. So Care Bear stuffed animals, or however you want to do it. I guess there was figurines of some sort, but most kids probably had the actual stuffed animals, which are definitely still on Target shelves. My daughter has probably 8 to 10 of these things in different colors, then different, obviously they each have a, the thing these days is it's not just like the yellow, the red, the blue, the green, like Grumpy and Earth's Bedtime Bear or Cheer Bear or something like that. Now there's like the tie-dye-ish Care Bears that are all over the place with like multicolors and stuff like that. But she loves them. She'll even actually, she watches the old, it's one of the rare things that she doesn't need like the current version of either. She will watch the 1980 Care Bear shows or movies occasionally, not all the time, but occasionally she's watched the whole movie straight through, and that, she doesn't do that with a lot of movies. So
giving a Care Bear is a very special way of sharing your feelings.
She's a wish come true.
Because a Care Bear's tummy shows just what you're feeling in your heart.
Cheer Bear!
He'll help you cheer from the sidelines.
Make any day special for someone you care about.
Won't be any fun without you.
Sunshine Bear will keep you company.
Share your special feelings with a soft, cuddly Care Bear. Each sold separately.
I'm happy Care Bears makes the countdown. I actually had these, it's a weird story, but one version of my bedroom for some reason when I was like 3 or 4 or something was Care Bears. And my mom actually had put like, there was like clouds and like rainbow slides and stuff that the Care Bears had on the walls. And then like the Care Bears were like Velcroed onto the walls. So it was like a 3D wall effect, I guess. And I always thought that was the coolest thing, and I'm a fan of the Care Bears, so I'm happy they're here. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, just like you, I didn't have a whole Care Bear bedroom thing, but did we already mention toy dinosaurs in one of the other episodes?
Yeah, that came up.
Okay. So that's okay. So I remember having dinosaur bed sheets, and I remember having Care Bear bed sheets, and the only reason why I remember the Care Bear bed sheets was because Bedtime Bear had the pillowcase, and I have The Funko, back in 2019, started doing these things called Funko Sodas. They're another version of vinyl figure. And they came out with a Bedtime Bear one. The common is just the normal figure. The exclusive one, or the variant of it, is he's actually flocked. I don't have that one, but I have the common one. And I'm like, childhood memories, gotta love it. Care Bears was always fun. It was always interesting. It added another flavor to the 80s car. Like, you know, you've went through this whole thing. Each actually did it this year, last year, in our own ways, about revisiting Saturday morning lineups and things like that. And that cartoon was pretty damn good still, even 40-some years later.
Couple different ways with the Care Bear cousins and things like that. Yep. But I think as a toy, like the stuffed animal is a classic. If you're voting on stuffed animals besides like the classic teddy bear, I think Care Bears is probably right up there with one of the most popular ones. So Rodimus, what do you think? Is it worthy?
It's of course it's worthy. I mean, for pretty much like any cartoon that was on at the time, for those of us, you know, we would watch it even if it was on, you know, unless we were going out or doing something else. So if it was on, it's like you turn back between the different channels and it's like, okay, don't necessarily want to watch that. Want to watch this. Okay. All right. Care Bears is on, whatever. It'll be like background noise. So it was on. I never really like got into it, but you know, you have, you know, my wife has like a Care Bears wallet still. So, though she's a My Little Pony fan.
Nice. We're going to go back to another classic. We're hitting all the classics right now with Viewmaster, Etch-A-Sketch, and we're going to do something similar with number 44. We're going to go back to 1943. This is a 2001 Toy Hall of Fame inductee, and this is also kind of a milestone in our countdown so far, because like I said before we started, we had 3 people's number ones that didn't make the top 100, which is rare in these top 100s, and since then, we haven't had any come up. So 100 through 45, nobody's number one, but we're going to hit somebody's number one right here. So apologies to whoever that person is, but it's in the top 50 at least. Number 44 is Silly Putty. So Silly Putty, classic, fun. You know, we always did it with the comic strips in the newspaper. Do those exist anymore? I don't know, but you got your newspaper and then you put your Silly Putty over the comic strip and there the picture was. Like that was our number one way to use it.
What molds into silly animals and silly shapes?
Silly Putty.
What bounces like a ball?
Silly Putty.
What stretches? and stretches.
Silly putty.
What picks up pictures from a newspaper and makes them silly? And if you stretch it, even sillier.
Silly putty.
Are you sure Silly Putty can do all those things?
Yes, Silly Putty is fun.
Silly Putty comes in a shell shaped like an egg. Nothing else is Silly Putty.
But I do remember playing with this quite a bit as a child. So Silly Putty, number 44. I'm loving it. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, same thing. I remember having Silly Putty over Play-Doh. I would, as a kid, I preferred Silly Putty over Play-Doh. Was just too damn weird for me as a kid. It felt very generic. But yeah, I love Silly Putty.
It's on 13 lists. One person had it at number one. One person had it at number, let me see if I can do the math right. Number seven, I believe, was the other person that had it in the top 10. So some high rankings for it, and some other people had it down towards the other end, 92 or 70s. So where do you think a good spot for Silly Putty is, Rodimus?
I would say, you know, further down,
yeah,
down the list. I'm very surprised it's in the top 50. But yeah. I mean, not that it's not in the top 100, not that it's not a worthy toy, what have you. But like, I mean, like you said, like pretty much like anyone's favorite childhood toy, you know, it deserved to be on the top 100 list, but you know, kind of, I think it's the higher numbers that brought it up as high as,
yes, yeah, for sure. Yeah, there was only, let's see, there was 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 people had it in the top 50, 8 people had it on the other side of the 50 mark. I think, yeah, the thing for me, like, I definitely voted for it. I think the thing that keeps me from voting it at higher, like some of these folks, is the limitations of it. Like, there's not, like, it, I feel like there's not a ton of things you can do with it,
right?
Like, what it does is cool and it's fun, but like, I feel like it doesn't have as much of a replayability. Like, how often are you going to play with Silly Putty before you're like, I think I've done everything this has to offer. So I think
for me, it was more about the, like, how are you going to not distract your parents on a car trip? You sit there and you play, yeah, with the Silly Putty. And for the record, I'm the one that had it at number 7. Thank you very much. Because again, like we already mentioned in the previous episodes with Lincoln Logs and now with Silly Putty and other things, just those toys stuck out to me more. And like I said in one of the other episodes, ladies and gentlemen, in case you don't know, in case this is your first time, this is the Geekcast Radio Network. For 14 and a half years, you people should know 80s and 90s rules us, which means that the top of this countdown is going to be a lot of franchises. So, yeah. But Silly Putty was awesome. Even though you're right, it did have a limiting factor. At least while you were playing with it, it distracted you enough to where you didn't want to have to, ooh, shiny. You know, that kind of thing.
All right, let's put another tally in one of our leaders here. We're going to go back and give another vote for action figures here at number 43. I'm actually surprised this is in the top 50. I am a big fan of the franchise, a big fan of the cartoon, a big fan of the reboot of the cartoon. I have some of the action figures. I would not put it in the top 50, but that's just because, like I said, some action figures I think do more to distinguish themselves or stand out as more unique. That doesn't mean I don't like them, though. Number 43 is Thundercats, the toy line of action figures from the Thundercats series.
Half human, half animal.
Thunder, 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 yes.
Thundercats, Mumra and Lion-O, each sold separately.
I'm Mumra, want the sword of Gundara.
With this secret power ring, battery not included, you can make Lion-O's eyes light up. With Battlematic action, you control their swords.
The sword is mine, Lion-O. That's what you think, Mumra.
Thundercats.
Thundercats, Mumra and Lion-O with light-up eyes, each sold separately, new from LJN.
So 1985, put another tally also in for LJN. We have not had an LJN toy since number 100 with the quote-unquote wrestling figures, even though they've had a lot of different companies, we know that. But we'll say wrestling figures are LJN, and so are the Thundercats. Like I said, big fan of the show, big fan of most things franchise-related. I don't know if the toys necessarily for me stand out more than some of these other ones, but top 100 I get, top 50 maybe not so much. Mike, what do you think?
Cat's Lair was the cat's meow. That is one of the play sets the 80s. Like, yes, the figures were, and let's face it, folks, and not that we're comparing it to today's standards, but I look back on some of these action figure lines and I'm like, how did I play with that and enjoy it? And Thundercats is one of those, because I always was like, I don't want Bendy sort of opens. That's a whole other whatever. But like, it just you want like to having
someone here sort of.
See, I knew that was going to happen. I liked having the characters, but again, for me, it was all about Cat's Lair and the Thunder Tank for the classic toys in the 80s as a kid. The actual action figures, like, they were, I was just basically, literally, rock'em, sock'em, roboting them. That's all I was doing, just smashing them together.
They were larger than the average action figure.
True. Sure.
It also is our third toy so far today from the 1980s. And all three of them are the only three toys we've revealed so far that are not National Toy Hall of Fame finalists or nominees. So I don't know what that says.
I don't see how Thundercats could ever get in. Like, literally, yeah. I don't think they can break Care Bears that tour dive.
Not in the National Toy Hall of Fame. Don't know if they ever would be. I think Care Bears had the best chance out of the three. Rodimus, what do you think?
I think they were more popular as this, like the show itself is what sold the toys. Because unlike most, you know, toy lines of the 80s, Thundercats was actually created first as a cartoon, and then they produced toys based on the cartoon. So it was actually made the opposite way around. A lot of people think that it was actually, they made the toys first like they did with Transformers or G.I. Joe or Thundercats, or G.I. Joe, Thundercats or He-Man. Transformers, G.I. Joe, and He-Man were toys first. Thundercats was actually made as a cartoon first. The only time that they, you know, that the toys, you know, created the characters in the cartoon was the second season Berserkers. So that is an interesting Thundercats fact. But as far as, you know, as a toy was it be concerned, they were all right as toys. But again, it was, you bought the toy because you were a big fan of the cartoon. And I think that's really like the bottom line as to why. And it does deserve a high spot. You know, it's just that it's not like, you know, there are other toys that were made to be good toys first. And I think, right, Thundercats were just more designed to be toys for the characters. So,
right. Like, I would probably put Voltron ahead of Thundercats, even though I was a bigger fan of Thundercats as a show.
Right. That's my point.
Yeah, absolutely. All right. Trying not to let the action figures leave them in the dust, we're going to go back to a board game here for the first time today. Number 42 came about in 1974 from Milton Bradley, even though it's currently owned by Hasbro. It was a National Toy Hall of Fame finalist. We're going to the classic game of Connect Four. Kind of a board game, kind of a different type of game.
Go for it, Red!
Go for it, Black! Go for
get
it!
Get off my back!
Connect Four!
Got three in a row!
Go for one more!
Too late, Joe.
Connect Four!
Go for the fun of Connect Four. Four in a row wins.
Go for the bottom.
And go for the top. Watch for the block.
Forget it. You're stopped.
Go for the glory. Go for the star.
Go for it.
I win!
Connect Four! Go for it!
Yeah.
Connect Four!
It's not really a board, I guess, but Connect Four. I think this is one that I put on my list more so because of, in the similar way that I did for Tic-Tac-Toe, which we saw way back when that was number 90. I think I did the same thing for Connect Four because it's one of those that you don't necessarily need the actual game. Like it can be adapted and done in so many different ways. Like I'm sure everybody's seen like the giant, like life-size Connect Fours where you're dropping the huge things, but you could do it with so many different ways to do Connect Four, kind of like Tic-Tac-Toe. So I think it's more universal, more easily played by a lot of people, and not very many people have not played a game of Connect Four. So go to Rodimus first on this one. In the world of board games or games like this, do you think Connect Four stands enough ahead of the other ones to be on the list?
I mean, as far, because I mean, if we're hitting the broader strokes of like, because like obviously going to be jealous of all action figure collectors, but I literally was playing Connect Four with my son not too long ago. So, you know, yeah, it's clearly meant to be, you know, in the Hall of Fame as one of the, you know, the greatest toys for kids in general. So, you know, so I'd say definitely.
I'm surprised, you know, it's only been a finalist and not actually inducted in yet, but maybe one day it'll break through.
Yeah,
Mike.
Maybe. Yeah. Connect Four always was it was that game that I've, like when you mentioned Tic-Tac-Toe in one of the other episodes when we had that entry, like my literally my first thought was Connect Four, even though I know it's not tic-tac-toe.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? But like that was where my brain went when you first said tic-tac-toe. I'm like, oh, Connect Four. Okay. Yeah, no, absolutely. Definitely top 50 worthy, I think, because it was always a super fun, interesting game. And you're right, it isn't a board. It's more of a battleship board than anything else. It just doesn't have the briefcase aspect that Battleship had.
True. It was also on 14 lists, so it ties Etch-A-Sketch and Twister as being on the most list, but that is going to be short-lived because our number 41 is going to be on 15 list, which is the highest so far. Our number 41 was a 2022 National Toy Hall of Fame inductee, so just recently. Came about in 1967. It's also our first toy that was introduced by Hasbro. So we had to get to number 41 before we got to an actual Hasbro original. Not the Hasbro toys, you know, company that owns all the other toys we've talked about, but one that actually was produced by Hasbro. We're going,
before you even say it, I think I already know what it is, but go ahead.
We're going with the Light Bright.
Yep, I knew it.
Light Bright from 1967. I had to wait until 2022 to get in the Hall of Fame.
Light Bright, Light Bright, turn on the magic of colored light. Light Bright, Light Bright, make a face to glow at night. Smiling friends, shining bright, make a sign to
just pop in the colored pegs and follow the patterns. It's easy to make your favorite pictures and characters, or you can always create your own light pictures.
Light Bright, Light Bright, turn on the magic of shining light.
Light Bright.
Been produced, and this is also another one that you can find probably on at times at that Target, like retro end cap. I think they have like mini versions of it maybe or something like that. But I loved the Light Bright. I played the heck out of Light Bright. I had so many different Transformers and G.I. Joe and He-Man and yep, whatever pages. And I played the crap out of this thing. And I thought it was a whole lot of fun. My daughter also has played with, we haven't got her a new one, but she has played with my wife's Light Bright that she held on to. So she had a lot of fun with it. I think that it'll be something more that she enjoys as she gets a little bit older. It's hard for like a 2 or 3 year old to get into Light Bright too much, but she did like looking at the lights. So I'm happy Light Bright's in the top 50. It was definitely on my list. It didn't make anybody's top 10, but it did make three people's top 20. All over the place though. It was voted like 98th. It was in the, I think every set of 10 besides the top 10 had at least one mention of the Light Bright. So Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I had it at 20. I probably should have put it a little higher, but I remember having them, and I remember just black construction paper was always so interesting to have to use that. And the funny thing is, a couple of years ago, a more modern toy company now, even though they are 25 years old, they did a Funko Pop version of Light Bright, and it's awesome.
Oh, Lord have mercy. Rodimus, what do you think?
My question is, do you guys have one?
I don't anymore.
My wife has, we both have one from our childhood. We have not bought like a newer version of it yet.
No, we have a new one, for my kids. So yeah.
Have they made upgrades? Have they done anything different, or is it
the same thing? There really isn't much of a difference as far as I'm aware.
Frame maybe.
I think that's what it is. Like, I think the framing might be different, and you know, then we can utilize it differently. So
they probably rounded all the corners or something on them now.
What's that?
But they probably rounded all the corners. I believe the one that I had was more of like a box, like with actual.
Oh,
corners.
Yeah. Well, also because the pegs were, you know, are a little bit more rounded than I remember.
Right. I think it's a classic. I think it definitely deserves to be here. I'm shocked that we had to get to number 41 to see a Hasbro design. I told you guys at the beginning, you're going to be shocked at some of these toy companies, how little toys they actually produce themselves. They just have the name and the reputation, and they own everything now. So, all right. I guess this section of the countdown, episode 3 here, is the episode of action figures, because they're making a statement here. We're going to another one at number 40. This one of our rare 1990s toys, 1993, from the same company that did Voltron. We're going to go, Mike, with something that you'll have to talk about. We're going with the Power Rangers.
Transforming action, Power Rangers. This is Zordon. It's transforming time. Evil space aliens are approaching your location. Combine your weapons. It's your only hope. Karate action, Power Rangers. Use your hand-to-hand fighting abilities. protect the Earth from evil space aliens. Mighty Morphin Power Rangers from Bandai. Grab the power.
That's awesome. That's great. Yeah, no, Power Rangers has been around for 30 years now, and I literally, and again, because this is what my collection is nowadays, literally about a month and a half ago, I just bought a whole bunch of Power Ranger pops, but from Funko. But it's one of those things where Power Rangers was that, it's like everyone forgot about Voltron until Power Rangers came up, and then they started comparing the two back then, and even sometimes nowadays people get the two mixed up. I don't know how you could do that. I mean, I guess because Megazord and Dinosaur and whatever, and Lions and all that, but no, Power Rangers was great back in the day. It's still mostly great today. I prefer the comics today over the actual show, but the toys themselves were always so fun. They did so many interesting things. Like, there was, I remember having the Ninja Falcon Zord when the movie came out, and I remember that there were versions of the characters where they had, I think, flip-up heads, if I'm remembering that right. If I'm not, people, just come at me in the comments.
Rodimus, any thoughts on Power Rangers?
I'm laughing because it's quite literally this past year I got a chance to meet Walter Jones. I've met Austin St. John. I'm really annoyed that while I was present, I was unable to meet Jason David Frank. You know, but you know, again, being like a super nerd that I am, knowing that we all compared it to Voltron, yet Voltron actually, it's the other way around, because you know, Super Sentai came first and Voltron was kind of like inspired by that, or Goldlion was. And so there's that with you know, with Voltron, but you know, Power Rangers being such a phenomenon that it was when it came out in 93 was something else. Like, for it to beat Ninja Turtles, like, it was a big deal. So
yeah, those toys and those experiences and the original series was just so great. So as of this recording, the official Power Rangers YouTube channel has been uploading like mega videos of like the mutiny from season two premiere, the mutiny part one, part two, all in one video. White Light part one, part two, all in one video. And back in, I think it was 2010 or no, it would be, I don't know, somewhere 2010, 2011, we actually got a chance to talk to the late, great Jason David Frank. And that was one of the best interviews we've ever done. Done a lot of them in 14 and a half years, but man, that interview was like, oh God, it was so good.
Power Rangers rules.
You should be.
I'm still kicking myself for not getting it. And he's a Transformers voice actor too, because he voiced Cerebros in Titans Return. So it was like a double whammy kind of thing. And I'm still kicking myself. I did not get the opportunity to actually meet him. So,
Cerebros? I thought he was Emissary. Is that something else?
Yeah, it was Emissary. Yeah, it was not Cerebros. Made no sense. I think he did whatever he could. Like, he did the best that he could, because he always poured his all into every single project he put his hands to. And I just remember that about Jason David Frank. So
he was awesome.
But yeah, for sure. And I'm still annoyed now after having watched Die Ranger, which is the Japanese Super Sentai that they used for the Thunder Zords. And they should have changed costumes when they changed Rangers mid-season 2.
Yeah, they should have, but they didn't.
That would have made so much sense if they did it that way, and it would have worked 100 times better.
Eh, it's 30 years in the past. But the toys, though, like, literally, I didn't want any other part of the Ninja Mega Falcon Zord from the movie other than the Falcon Zord. I didn't care about the movie design toys, just like the Transformers movie design toys nowadays. The Falcon
was the only Rangers Zord.
Yeah.
All right, let's move on to another another action figure toy line back to back here. We've only had three toys that were originated from Kenner so far. That was the starting lineup figures, Silverhawks and Stretch Armstrong. We're going to have our fourth here with our number 39, debuted in 1986. We're talking about the Ghostbusters toy line.
There's something strange in the neighborhood.
So who are you going to call?
Ghostbusters!
Each sold separately.
Have no fear. Mackie, Steph, and Spangler are here.
So are these ghosts.
They've got exoplasm.
We've been gooped.
Now what?
They puff Marshmallow Man.
Let's show this pile of dessert who's boss.
Activate Neutrona Blaster.
We ain't afraid of them.
Ghosts.
Peter Venkman, Ectoplasm, Stay Puft Marshmallow Man, and other figures each sold separately. Ghostbusters, new from Kenner.
Ghostbusters. I'm surprised that they made this top 50. But a lot of Ghostbusters fans here. Two of them had them in the top 10. Two more had them in the top 20. A couple had them in the top 30. Mike, what do you think of the Ghostbusters toy line?
I like the Ghostbusters toy line, but other than Slimer, I don't remember having any. Other than Slimer and Ecto-1, I do not remember having any of the Ghostbuster characters.
Fair enough. I had some friends that did. I did not have them myself. I know they had a cool playset, I believe.
The firehouse, yep.
Yeah, things like that. But Rodimus, what do you think of Ghostbusters here?
I had quite a few. I had the, you know, the main cast, and I had a couple of the different ghosts or what have you. You know, saw the movies multiple times. Of course, watched the real Ghostbusters with, you know, with every other cartoon that was out there at the time. And, you know, I always had to watch the TV edit of the original 1984 film, because of course they know how much they swear in that. So, but yeah, I wasn't like a mega Ghostbusters fan, but I was a big enough Ghostbusters fan that like I cared about the franchise enough. So, and that's about it. So
there we go. We'll have to wait and wage the debate later. Once we know which action figure toy lines are all revealed, if we got the right order or if they were worthy or not, that'll be a discussion for the wrap up show possibly. All right. So that is the first half of today's countdown. We're going to take a quick break. We're going to let an ad play for one of the contributors or a couple of the contributors, and then we'll come back and continue the countdown.
Ready to go.
We be fast and they be slow.
Wow.
Hey, toy fans. This is John, also known as Iacon Dispatch. You can find me on pretty much every social network at Iacon Dispatch, where I share cool Transformers and Star Wars stuff that I like. Thanks so much to the great people at Geekcast Radio Network for putting this awesome project together and for once again letting me contribute to it. Definitely had a lot of fun with it. Take it easy, everyone, and I'll see you around online.
Yo, Joe, and welcome to the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast, where a punk rock band of brothers get together to talk about one of our shared loves, toy collecting.
Toy hunt by day, punk rock band by night. We'll take any excuse to get in the van.
We all collect different toy lines like those real American heroes.
G.I. Joe!
To the toys that are more than meets the eye, Transformers.
To He-Man and the Masters of the Universe.
From vintage to modern and all topics in between, you can always expect some rowdy and passionate discussion because we love talking toys here on the Cracktastic Plastic Podcast.
It is a world transformed where things are not what they seem.
Transformers!
Want to learn a bit about the Transformers? Think you know everything about Cybertron, but are looking to learn a little bit more? Enroll today at Transformers University Podcast. Each episode will tackle a piece of Transformers history, starting in 1984 and marching our way up to today. Hosted by me, Anthony Brucalli, three-time Emmy Award winner and consulting producer on Netflix's The Toys That Made Us, and lifelong Transformers fan, we'll go on a journey through cartoons and comics, toys and movies, and all the weird esoterica from around the world, chronicling the adventures of everyone's favorite, Robots in Disguise. Listen to Transformers University on iTunes, Google, Spotify, YouTube, and wherever you get your favorite podcasts.
Transform and roll out!
Just an old guy talking about old toys. It's me, Willie, from the Toy Tube Podcast. I talk about toys from the 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, few 90s, and some mixtures of other toys in there as well. If you'd like to hear me talk about some old toys in podcast form, I'm available on Apple, Stitcher, iHeartRadio. Just like an infectious earworm, I'm all over the place. If you like to see videos on old toys and old retro games, check out my YouTube channel at Arcade USA. Thanks for listening.
All right, before the break, you heard us in, talk about a Kenner toy line and the Ghostbusters. We're going to come back from the break and do another Kenner toy. This one is a classic, if at all. And I think if we had more females voting in our list, this possibly would have made it even higher. This is a 1963 toy, inducted in the Toy Hall of Fame in 2006. Currently now owned by Hasbro, like so many toys. We're going with the classic Easy Bake Oven here at number 38.
Fun to do.
M&M's, colors, and corners for you, and stuff from home, too. My favorite candy is now a yummy cake, because we're really cooking with Easy Bake.
Easy Bake Oven and M&M's brand sets sold separately. Light bulb not included. Use stuff from home. Adult assembly required.
So I definitely voted for this one. It had to be in the top 100 somewhere. I've never owned one. I've never played with one. I've never even touched one. But I know how iconic it is. So, Mike, what do you think of the Easy Bake Oven here at number 38?
Pretty much everything you just said, Layton. That's all that needs to be said.
Yeah. Let's make that a triple.
It was ranked all the way up at number 3 for one person. And then 3 other people had it in the top 20. So definitely some very high votes for those that did vote it. And I think it's definitely worthy of being here in the top 50. So we're going to go somewhere we have not gone very often in this countdown with number 37, and that is the world of electronics, electronic toys. This one came around in the 1970s, and the Toy Hall of Fame inductee in 2007, the classic Atari.
I'd like an Atari 2600 system, please, and everything that goes with it.
Everything? You sure you want everything?
I want everything.
Now you get a new low price, up to $30 a rebate office, and a free pack.
Is that everything?
It's not everything. You can get nearly 300 different cartridges.
300?
That's nothing.
It's something.
But it's not everything. Soon there'll be a voice module, trackball, remote control joysticks, and a computer keyboard.
It's amazing.
It's amazing, but it's not everything.
It's not everything.
Soon there'll be educational games, too.
Is that everything?
That's everything.
For now.
For now.
The Atari 2600.
Now get up to $30 in rebate offers.
So Atari here at number 37 joins the likes of, let's see, what other, we've had Xbox so far. Mm-hmm. Was that the only electronic toy?
I think that's the only like video game type electronic toy that we've had, yeah.
Well, I guess if you consider walkie-talkie electronic.
Yeah, that's true.
That's been about it. Xbox. Yeah. I want to say we had one last time, and I'm just trying to look at my list real quick to think of what it was.
I can't think.
Oh, we had pinball, I guess. You could put pinball in there in a way. But Atari here at number 37. Mike, what do you think?
Interesting. I wonder where all the others are going to fall if they fall on higher. I think I mentioned this in one of the other episodes. My mom had both the 2600 and the 7800, and the only game I ever remember playing on either one of them was Barnstormers. It's basically you just flying in an old-timey plane. Bombing barns? I don't remember off the top of my head. I don't know.
I couldn't vote for Atari because we were an Intellivision family, so that's what I had and grew up with. But Rodimus, what do you think about Atari?
Absolutely deserves to be in the top 100, at least for being one of the most popular video game consoles of its heyday. Definitely played Barnstormer, of course, played Space Invaders on it, played that version of Donkey Kong and Pac-Man on it, played Pitfall. Come on, how can you have not said you have played
Pitfall? Oh, that's right, Pitfall. Hey, it's been 40 years since I played fucking Atari.
That cheesy, glitchy sound effect that it made, and, you know, people told me about Adventure, but I never played it. But, yeah, that's... that I always found interesting was like people, you know, we had an Atari, we had an Intellivision, we had a Commodore 64. So taking that's you all what the I way back was the there when it comes down to games. So,
yeah, I like Atari. I mean, we have to have something represented from back there, whether it be Pong or Atari or Intellivision. So might as well be Atari. That's the most popular one, I think.
Yeah. At the time frame.
Yes. All right, so from one toy inductee to another one, we're going to go with one that got inducted in 2013, but is a little bit older than the Atari. We're not talking about 1972. We're talking about maybe like, the 15th century maybe, or before. It's hard to kind of trace a date back to the origins of the game of chess, but that's what we have here at number 36.
Knight to king 3. Pawn to queen four.
The pawn?
The knight.
The knight?
So chess. It was one person's number four. It was on 13 lists. A lot of people voted for this one. I did not personally. I guess I think of toys more for kids, and I think of chess as more for adults. Not necessarily that it is. I mean, I know there's tons of kids that know how to play chess and can kick everybody's ass in it. But I went with another classic game on my list instead of chess. I love chess. I played it a lot. But I'm not going to argue whether it's top 100 worthy. I think it definitely can be in the conversation. Mike, what do you think?
Yeah, I agree. I always preferred checkers, though, because it was less stress. Like, you look at a lot of those chess grandmaster kids, and I mean, it's kind of like comparing those to beauty pageant kids. Like, those people are going to have really large scars when they're adults. Yikes.
I voted for checkers instead of chess just when it comes to, like, when I think toys, I think more of checkers, but I prefer to play chess myself individually. But Rodimus, what do you think?
You're only terrible at chess because you lack strategy, but I have. A good old Megatron quote there for you. Definitely enjoyed playing, I could definitely agree with you that it is more of an adult's game, you know, because more as you get older, you get wiser and you get better at strategy. But my uncle and my dad were very good at chess. And so they would play each other quite a bit, like very much like Xavier and Magneto in X-Men playing chess with each other. Like, that's how much that they would, every time that I would go over, you know, go to my grandmother's house and my uncle was there, it would be, you know, a chess match between the two of them. And then I would start to learn from them and then easily get checkmated in like 10 minutes. Like, So I do have a lot of memories playing chess with my family. So.
Absolutely. I think it's definitely top 100 worthy of being in the conversation. All right. I'm going to give you a list of toys that have been in three people's top 10 so far that we've already revealed. That would have been Lionel Trains. That appeared in three people's top 10s. See, then we had to wait until we got to Lincoln Logs. That was in three people's top 10. And Thundercats was actually in three people's top 10. And we're going to get another one of them right here with number 35. This has not been inducted or nominated for the National Toy Hall of Fame, but we're going back to an electronic game, 1983, Sega.
Hey, guy, you're the first serious gamer I've seen all morning. Check this out. Brand new 16-bit Super Nintendo with Super Mario World. Wow!
What's this one?
Oh, this is a Sonic the Hedgehog from Sega Genesis. Hey, look at these radical colors, huh?
Wow, Sonic's fast, too.
No, over here.
I like Genesis, and it costs a lot less.
Wait, kid, that game
I'll take Sonic and Genesis.
I knew that.
Sonic the Hedgehog, more action, more speed. Sega Genesis, it's a whole lot more for less.
Three people had this in their top 10. So we've had Xbox, we've had Atari, and now we have Sega. Mike, what do you think?
I chose poorly. God. If I could go back, if I could go back to 1986, my 1986 self, I would slap him silly. My mom that year said, you can pick one or the other for Christmas. You can't have them both. And I chose the Sega Master System over the Nintendo. And what the hell was wrong with me? I know there's a lot of things wrong with me, but damn it.
I'll tell you, the one reason why I remember Sega was because at one point, my friends and I were big time fans of wrestling and we were big time fans of the Royal Rumble Nintendo game. Mm-hmm. But the Sega version had two characters that the other version didn't have. So, had to find someone with a Sega and rent the Sega version of the Royal Rumble game so we could play with those two characters that didn't exist in the other version. I assume it was Nintendo version or play. I don't know.
Yeah. I think it was the Nintendo version. That was always the coolest thing about Nintendo versus Sega back then, was because that's the way you would get exclusives. Like, you know how video games today will do exclusive here or exclusive there. Back then, that's how we did it. Like, the Aladdin version of the Aladdin game, two versions, Super Nintendo and Genesis, and there's at least one or two things different between the two versions. But yeah, man, Sega, oh boy, Sega. They aren't Dreamcasting things anymore.
Rodimus, what do you think of Sega beating out Atari?
The question I have is it being referred to as the Master System, or is it Sega in general?
All of them, all Sega.
I wonder if people like made their list specifically based upon their experiences with the Genesis.
Probably.
you know, the Master System, I don't think, was as popular in the U.S. as it was as the Nintendo, as the NES was. I wanted to say the Nintendo because I'm an old school guy, so calling them the Nintendo is a thing. You know, but, you know, the Super Nintendo and the Genesis had a big time war. And so there obviously is that. But with Genesis, it was pretty much you bought Genesis for Mortal Kombat 1. But then the Super NES version of Mortal Kombat 2 came out, and it was much better than the Genesis version. So,
so I had to correct myself. There was 5 characters that were different in the Royal Rumble version. So the SNES had Ric Flair, Mr. Perfect, Ted DiBiase, Yokozuna, and Tatanka. The Genesis version had Hulk Hogan, IRS, Hacksaw, the model Rick Martel, and Papa Shango.
Wow.
So yeah, but just for diversity's sake, we lumped all of PlayStation together, all of Nintendo together, all of Sega together, so that
I mean, I would put, you know, Sega. I would put Sega above Atari, but I would put Nintendo way above them all. So we'll have personally, to see how it all plays out. Just as far as like an all encompassing all time, right. You know, I know that they're going to be Sony fanboys and Microsoft fanboys who are gonna like, you know, what have you, and it's like, dude, I like to play video games. Leave it alone.
Oh, absolutely. All right, continuing our countdown here, we're making it all the way up to number 34. I'm gonna have to rely on hopefully you guys a little bit more on this one. last time on the countdown, we did have Magic the Gathering, which tied with Dungeons and Dragons. I guess similar vein here, not necessarily like the same type of thing, but the same type of phenomenon, and obviously it's still going very strong today. Our number 34 from 1996, not a National Toy Hall of Fame nominee or finalist, but we're talking about Pokemon cards.
Hey guys,
get out of here, you don't want to play.
Introducing the Pokemon trading card game for Game Boy. Yeah. You can learn all the secrets and strategies you'll need to become a true Pokemon Master Trainer, rated E for everyone.
Ha! A Thunder Punch combined with the paralyzing attack move makes Electabuzz arguably the best all-around Pokemon in the game.
Limited edition card inside. Gotta catch them all.
Pokemon cards in general here on 13 lists. Nobody had it in their top 10, but a couple in their top 20. Just a lot of people that voted on it here. What do you think, Mike? Pokemon cards?
96? Are you sure? The cartoon started in 93, didn't it?
96.
97.
Is it real? Yeah. That's right. It was 97 on the card. Okay, yeah. No, I liked the cartoon. I thought the cartoon was fun. I never got into the card games because by that time I was 16, 17, and I just didn't get into it. And while I love the idea of using a video game to go out and exercise, I am sorry. Pokemon, stop. I could not stand the craze that was Pokemon Go back in 2015, 2016. So many news stories of people leaning over cliffs to try to catch this damn thing with their phone. And I'm like, please, just stop it. But yeah, Pokemon in general were always really fun.
Definitely. I've never had one. I've never bought one. I've never collected them just because I wasn't from my time period. But I voted for Pokemon cards in my top 100 just because of how popular they have been for so long now. Like, we're talking about whatever, 25 years now or something like that. 28, 27, whatever, however many years.
Almost 30. Yeah.
In my head. But, you know, and they're still on the shelves, like dominating the collectors. You know, you can watch people rip sports cards just as much as you can watch people rip Pokemon cards these days, and the values and all that stuff is crazy. So it's just taken on a life of its own. Rodimus, what do you think?
As far as cards are concerned, yeah, I mean, it's obviously a phenomenon in and of itself, but much like you said, like Magic the Gathering and Dungeons and Dragons are, you know, I mean, I think it was propelled even more because of the anime and, you know, subsequent, I believe, you know, and of course the Game Boy games that, you know, just launched it into a phenomenon in and of itself. But yeah, still, like, there are the people who are hardcore Pokemon players. Like, I'm still, I have no idea how to play it, like the card game, but, you know, you can't deny it's straight phenomenon. I mean, immediately, if you mention Pokemon to anyone who knows anything, you know, their first thing that's going to come to mind is Pikachu. So it's clear that it has such an impact you know, on society.
Yeah, and that's very true about the video game Pokemon. I forgot how popular all the, and I was at Target, you know, working in the electronics department when those were all coming out, and they were, every time a new color came out or a new version, man, that was like a Zelda game almost.
Yep.
But slightly different. All right. For number 33, let's give a chance for the board games to make another tally in their list. This is a finalist of the National Toy Hall of Fame, but hasn't quite cracked into it yet. This is from 1967 from Milton Bradley, currently owned by Hasbro. Mike had already mentioned it once on this countdown. We're talking about the classic.
Man your battle station.
The enemy's armed for battle.
It's our move, sir.
H4. It's electronic talking battleship.
The troll boat. Head.
With real voice command. Real battle sound.
Carrier. Head.
He got us, sir.
He's clever.
Against a foe or against a computer.
We missed.
First to sink his enemy's fleet wins.
Battleship. Done.
Yeah. What now, sir?
Can you swim, Nelson?
Battleship and electronic talking battleship from Milton Bradley.
You sunk my battleship.
You sunk my battleship. So, number 33. Mike, what do you think?
Oh, man. I always liked electronic battleship over regular battleship because it was much cooler. Regular battleship was great at the time, but when they put electronics in that thing, it was so much better.
Yeah, talking about reinventing itself, it definitely started attracting itself to a whole nother audience. And I think everybody's played, became a battleship. Like if you played battleship, it seems like you've also played that one where you're like the classic game where somebody thinks they've like checked every quadrant and not found the ship, and they're like, is it on top of the other ship? Like,
where, yeah, where it can only be in one spot. And then the highlight, and this is weird, a weird highlight for the 90s, but for me it was like, oh hell no, Riddler and Two-Face playing Battleship in Batman Forever.
Rodimus, what do you think of Battleship coming in here number 33?
Absolutely love the game. I'm just very surprised it ended up as high as it did. Like, it deserves to be in the top 100, but I'm just very surprised about it being as high.
Partially this high because it is our second of today's section that was somebody's number one.
Yeah. Again, like, it's kind of like one of those things where it's like, love the game, played a lot of it as a kid, you know, both regular and electronic, and even saw that crappy movie, but... You know, yeah, I mean, it deserves to be on the, you know, in the top 100, but I don't necessarily think it's, you know, I think it would have ranked it a little bit lower than that. So
it's,
I refuse to watch that movie to keep my integrity intact.
They actually say the line, "You sunk my battleship," and the missiles from the aliens are the pegs.
Yeah. It is number 33, partially because of that one person voting at number one, but also partially because it's the highest number of lists that any toy has appeared on. So 16 people voted for Battleship, which is more than any other toy so far in the countdown. But nobody else had it in the top 25. So only one person had it at number one. Then a couple people had it like 28, 29. And then a lot of people had it kind of in that middle range. So 16 people voted on Battleship, which lands it here at number 33. All right, not to be undone. Action figures are coming right back and throwing a punch right back at the board games here. Number 32 from the 1960s. Originally, if you want to kind of go for the first one, probably by Ideal Toys, but it's been done by a lot of different companies. We had Marvel Comics at number 54. We're giving you DC superhero action figures here at number 32.
Coming from the farthest reaches of the universe to challenge the worst villains on Earth are the most powerful heroes ever in the Battle of the Superpowers Collection. Superpowers figures with power action, each sold separately.
They're so powerfully built. Squeeze them, they've got power action like Superman and Batman. Here comes Hawkman.
Watch out for Brainiac's power action.
And each comes with a mini comic.
The Superpowers Collection, Superman, Batman, Brainiac, Hawkman, and other figures with power action, each sold separately, new from Kenner.
So DC... dominating Marvel here as far as the action figures go, at least. Mike, what do you think?
I'm torn with this because while I love what McFarlane and all of them are doing now with the DC stuff, some of the original DC superpowers stuff from the 80s, I had some of those Batman figures and some of them were not great. Look, I don't need a cloth cape. Thank you very much. I don't need fabric in my action figures. But I will say that I'm pretty sure my DC section for Funko outweighs my Marvel section. And while Marvel Legends was far superior, DC has put out some really great, like, any of the animated series stuff, whether it's Batman the Animated Series, Superman the Animated Series, Justice League Unlimited, some of those Justice League Unlimited figures are so cool. I remember back in 2010, they put out the 3-pack of Batman, the Joker, and the Grey Ghost. It was the first time we ever got an Adam West Grey Ghost figure from BTAS, and they put it out in the Justice League Unlimited line. I love that action figure. It was so, so cool. But yeah, no, DC reigns supreme.
At least when it comes to action figures and this countdown. Rodimus, do you think the DC action figures are better than the Marvel ones?
As action figures? That's a tough call. I mean, nowadays with the Marvel Legends and stuff, but then again, like, it's a matter of, like, what hero is your favorite? You know, it's kind of hard, like, to place that, you know, either one of them, because they both try to outdo each other in a way. But, I mean, if we're going for old school toys, I mean, you know, I know you said you don't like cloth in your superhero figures, but I think that having that with the Superman and Batman figures just works really well. You know, having the cape kind of, you know, flying in the wind as you're having Superman fly or Batman glide down. I don't necessarily know. Like, it's weird to place, like, DC above Marvel as far as toys are concerned, but I think it's a matter of personal preference.
Yeah, absolutely. Let's go on then to number 31. It seems like we've had a little run of some electronic toys, and we're going to go back there with number 31 from the 1970s. We're going to go with just the generic all-encompassing arcade games, just arcade games in general, stuff kids love to play. Mike, what do you think?
Ah, yes, arcade games. There wasn't anything like in the 90s when you could go to a movie theater and sit in a Star Wars seat and pick which movie you wanted to play. That Star Wars trilogy game was amazing.
Six people voted arcade games in the top 25. Didn't quite make it here at number 31. But
close enough.
Man, arcade games. Ooh, there's whole conventions for arcade games, man.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Like, there's whole, like, you know, people get, like, the actual machines and play them and they restore them. You know, I you know, everything from the 70s arcade games to the, you know, the 80s ones where, like, you had, like, different multiplayer, like Street Fighter and Mortal Kombat were born in the arcade. The multiplayer Konami games, like, you know, Ninja Turtles and Turtles in Time and Sunset Riders and The Simpsons and the X-Men multiplayer with six players being able to play at once, you know, to the Data East arcade games like, you know, Karnov and Bad Dudes on Bad, you know, and Spy Hunter and Final Fight. Gosh, I can go on and on and on about how many different, you know, arcade games that we would play. Like, you know, you'd go to an arcade with a pocket full of quarters. And if you went to a fighting game, you'd find two people playing, you put your quarter up on the top to
place your bet,
you know, yeah. Say like, I'm next. And, you know, I'll beat you. You know, I bet I can beat you in Killer Instinct, but I bet I can beat you in Mortal Kombat. So, you know, we're Street Fighter.
Yeah, we didn't live anywhere near an arcade, but we, even in our tiny little town, had a pizza place that we would go to a lot, especially after.
The pizza places. You would smell the pizza and hear the Hadoukens and Shoryukens going.
Well, they had like a Miss Pac-Man there that got played by so many people, and you could sit up there while you were waiting for your pizza to be made or whatever the case may be and play Miss Pac-Man. So I remember that being definitely a fun thing to do as a kid. So. Arcade games, number 31. Kind of ironic, but number 30 is going to be another electronic toy. This one, though, not from the 70s. Not like Atari, not like arcade games. We're going to go to another 1991. How about 1994 from a little company known by the name of Sony? We're going to go with the PlayStation in general. PlayStation, all-encompassing PlayStation. Doesn't matter if it's 1, 2, 3, 6, or no, that's Xbox. PlayStation number 30. Mike, what do you think?
PS9, it's going to be just injected right into our heads. Remember that old PlayStation 2 commercial when they're like, hey, guess what? This is the new boy. This is the new thing. And it's going to just be fed right into your brain. I wish. But no, PlayStation was groundbreaking at the time. It was awesome. I've mentioned on other podcasts recently, Metal Gear Solid and Bloody Roar 2 were my two go-to games for that, for PlayStation. I haven't played PlayStation since PS2 because the controllers and how I have to play because of the cerebral palsy and all that stuff, but I just like PlayStation more than the Xbox. I don't know what it is about the Xbox, like just looking at it just as a visual thing, the Xbox interface just sucks.
What is the part of the order? So we had Xbox in episode 1, mm-hmm. and we had pinball, and now today we've had Atari, Sega, arcade games, and PlayStation. What do you think?
I don't know if it's right, but I like it.
Yeah. I would rank it. Yeah, I would rank Sony as far as the PlayStation is concerned as a brand. I would rank it higher. I'm sure that after today's news, that they would rank Sony a little bit lower after the crap that they're pulling right now, where they're saying that your digital releases are now no longer your property and now they can delete them.
Yeah.
Which is a really, like a whole nother discussion for another day.
Yeah.
But if I were to, you know, to rank it as far as like a console is concerned, yeah, definitely would rank it higher than those companies. And even I would say arcade games. I mean, when Mega Man and Street Fighter, all Capcom and Konami games all mm-hmm. switched over to Sony, you know, you had to get one, even though if Sony wouldn't even be in the gaming and, you know, market right now for Nintendo, but knowing the history on it, but what they were able to accomplish by, you know, making the DVD market and the Blu-ray market what it was with PS2 and PS3 and, yep. you know, making a lot of good exclusive, you know, or gaining the license for good exclusive titles made the console worth it. I think that's really the bottom line, is what console had the best exclusives. So, and
it's now, yeah, it's funny that it's coming up like, yeah, that's true. And now it's funny because I mentioned earlier in this episode about how Nintendo and Sega kind of did exclusive whatever by having different versions of the same game. The Sony versus Microsoft, like, I remember that, I forget which Star Wars game it was, but there was a Star Wars game back in the day where if you wanted Yoda, you had to get the PlayStation version or Xbox. I forget which one was which, but you had Yoda as one DLC character, and then you had Darth Vader as the other DLC character on the other system.
Soul Calibur 4.
That's what it was. You're absolutely right. That's
Soul Calibur 2, you wanted the GameCube version because it was Link. It was a playable character.
Yep, I remember that now. So, yeah, but good.
Go ahead.
Well, PlayStation just, it was groundbreaking at the time.
Yeah.
Like, it was, it, like 1994, 1995, Microsoft wasn't even it. Microsoft was taking their Windows in, kind of thing. And Sony comes out of the gate, like, you think of Sony, you think of Walkman, you think of audio, you think of this, that, and you don't think of video games.
Here's a crazy analogy. Sony was to the video games what WCW was to the wrestling world. Was like Nintendo was the kid friendly one, WWE was WWF was the kid friendly one, and then all of a sudden Sony comes along and it was like, no, we're going to be a little bit more adult, we're going to be a little bit more mature with some of our games, and
yeah.
definitely
not in recent years.
They've gone more puritanical lately.
So.
10 people voted for PlayStation, but all 10 of them had them in the top 50. So that's what got it enough points. 2 people had it in the top 10, including 1 person had it at number 2. So a lot of high votes for PlayStation. All right, we're going to go a little bit different direction with our number 29 here. We're going to go all the way back to something that was introduced in the 1930s. A National Toy Hall of Fame inductee in 2014. I'm so happy that this made the top 100. I definitely voted for it. The classic Green Army Men, you know, You saw him in Toy Story. We've seen him in other things, but big time action is in store. Who didn't have like the generic no detail army men? I had so many of these that I had like I had a set that some of them were green, some of them were brown, some of them like they had different colors, and I had flags that represented different countries, and like so I could do like a whole world war with my army men. But I thought they were classic. Obviously it's not going to be like your regular action figures that have so much more detail and articulation, but who didn't play with little green army men when they were kids, Mike?
Maybe somebody that lived under a rock. Like everybody had, like everyone had them. They're just so universal. And that's the thing. Like back then, you could have a universal toy like that and not have to worry about this one has this articulated piece or this one has this this feature. That like it was everybody's all in, 100% just done. Like you can like. They were very nondescript in how they were made, but that was the point, because you could literally army build with them, and it was just fun.
Rodimus, so 15 people voted for army men. Half of them had it on the top 50, half of them had it in the bottom 50. What do you think is a good placement for army men?
I mean, for being as influential as it was, I think it's worth being in the top 100. I mean, yeah, I guess top 50, because I mean, they're so versatile, you know, they can be used in almost anything. So, and you know, the only thing you have to worry about is the bayonets on some of the rifles on some of the army men.
It'll poke your eye out.
Yeah, it'll literally poke your eye out with one of those things.
But, all right. We only have room for three more here in the top 50, but not in the top 25. So this one at number 28 is going all the way back into the 1800s. I didn't vote for this one because I tried to cheat and vote for another component of what you would do when you played with this toy. This was a 2019 toy inductee into the Hall of Fame. We're talking about coloring books. So I voted for crayons instead of coloring books because I was trying to save spots. But
thank you to everyone who worked together over the last few months to help each other out.
Like our fans who colored this commercial while staying safe at home.
Beautiful, isn't it, Red? I mean, pink? I mean, teal? I mean, whatever's going on there?
Crayons we've already had a long time ago in the countdown, but we're getting coloring books here at number 28. My daughter definitely plays with coloring books all the time, so I get it. It's very classic, universal. You can have all different franchises and different themes and different stuff like that. I know some people are saying books don't qualify as toys, but as we said in the beginning of this whole thing, if it's something that occupies a child's time, we're considering it a toy. So we're a very loose definition. So Mike, what do you think of coloring books being here at number 28?
I think it's a little high. I mean, and this isn't me. Maybe 48, 47. No, like, I mean, I liked coloring books as a kid. I could never stay inside the lines, unfortunately. But it's just one of those things where I don't know. I don't think it's. I mean, yeah, it's under the top 25, which is good, but I don't know.
Rodimus, what do you think?
I think it's a great learning tool. I mean, you know, just coloring books in general. But, I mean, I am surprised it is ranked as high as it is, just considering that there are so many other toys
right
to play with. Like, considering coloring book like a toy.
It is in the Toy Hall of Fame.
But it's probably because, you know, someone probably put it on their list and didn't know where else to put it, yeah. You know.
So the National Toy Hall of Fame considers it a toy. I guess we that's our argument against anybody that thinks it's not a toy. But 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 people had it in the top 25. So
okay. That
was definitely a lot of love there. I didn't vote for it at all. Like I said, I voted for crayons in general. So and I think they showed up. I don't know which episode they showed up.
Part 1 or part 2, I think. I don't know.
Yeah,
this is part 4. So
crayons were number 74. So crayons were 74.
The last episodes. Yep.
Very interesting there how that all works out.
So now that you ask, I would switch them. I would put crayons here over coloring books. I would put coloring books back at 74 and put crayons here at 28.
There we go. All right. The debate can continue on crayons versus coloring books. for number 27. This was also a National Toy Hall of Fame finalist, another 1980 toy, and another Hasbro toy. So we got Light Brights, and now we get My Little Pony.
With wings that flutter up and down.
Beautiful. Magical.
Fantastical.
My Little Pony, Flutter Pony.
There's no one else like you around.
My Little Pony, Flutter Ponies. Each sold separately. You can collect them all from Hasbro.
So obviously probably helped by the craze of the TV show and things of that nature, but I think most people in the 80s, at least, that grew up there had a My Little Pony toy or had a sister that had a My Little Pony toy or something of that nature. So I didn't vote for it, but I get it. So My Little Pony here at number 27. Mike, what do you think?
I only voted for it because I saw several episodes of the show at the time when I was a kid, but I never had any of these things. I'm pretty sure I didn't
vote for it. And I literally have some My Little Pony from my childhood out in the garage in a tub. We had the stable, my sister had one and I had one. And like, so I had the OG toys and I watched the OG cartoon. I have not watched much of the Friendship is Magic craze, but I know it's a phenomenon. So maybe aided by that, but you can still find some like retro versions of My Little Pony toys on the shelves. Thanks to that, probably. So, Rodimus, what do you think?
My wife's favorite franchise.
There we go.
We still have like a closet full of My Little Ponies. That, you know, my wife is like looking through and either giving some to my daughter or looking to sell some of them just to like make room so she can actually enjoy the one she likes. But she's seen like everything out of My Little Pony. So
My Little Pony at number 27. That means there's only one toy left for today. And we're going to get a toy that has been on more lists than anything so far in the countdown. 17 lists that this toy is on. There's actually only 7 or 8 toys that will be on more lists than this. So a ton of love for this one. Nobody ranked it. I think the highest it got ranked was like 12 or 13, but it was on 17 lists. So that was enough for that. We can probably trace this one back to, I don't know, like 3000 BC, somewhere around there, but it was a 2003 National Toy Hall of Fame inductee, probably originated in Egypt, but there's debate on that. We're going to go, Mike, you said you like it better than chess. Checkers.
Checkers. Because at least in checkers, you can do double and triple jumps, damn it. You can't do that in chess.
Yeah, you can.
Oh, okay, you can, but it's not as fun.
But yeah, no, because then you end up with a 7-year-old girl in tears.
Wow. Mike, what do you think of this coming in here at 26?
I think it's good. I think it's... I'm surprised it didn't crack the top 25, honestly. I think it's a good placement for it, and I love checkers. It was always so fun. And what always is so fun is like Rodimus just mentioned, it's like when you cream your opponent, it's like, oh, you best... Yeah.
Is that how it goes? Fun. Rodimus, what do you think about checkers?
I think it's an all-time classic that, you know... It's kind of like a family tradition, even from, you know, for myself, like, just like I said, with chess, I would play checkers, you know, since I was a kid, I would play checkers with my grandmother. And then, you know, now my grandparents will play and I will play checkers with my daughter. So it's kind of like passing it on. It's like a game that everybody plays. So.
Speaking of classic. That's all we got left, guys, is 25 toys, and I think they're all going to be classics in at least most people's books. So it's going to be interesting to see how that all shakes out, what order they come in. But real quick, before we do that, we're going to give you guys an update on where we're at for some of our stats and categories that we've been keeping track of. So as of this point, we have, for companies, we have 4 toys that were originated by Parker Brothers. We have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 from Milton Bradley. We have 2 from Hasbro, 3 from Tyco, 2 from Ideal, 2 from Tonka, 3 from Wham-O, 2 from Bandai, 2 from LJN, and we have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 from Kenner. So it's a Kenner versus Milton Bradley show at this point. We'll have to see what the top 25 holds for that. From as far as decades go, we added about, 3 toys from the 1900s or before. We added 0 from the 1910s, 0 from the 1920s, 2 from the 1930s, 1 from the 1940s, 1 from the 1950s, 6 from the 1960s, 3 from the 1970s, 6 from the 1980s, 3 from the 1990s, none from the 2000s and ahead of that. So right now the race looks like we have 15 from the 1900s and before, we have 15 from the 1980s, and we have 14 from the 1960s. Mike, who's going to win?
I don't know, but I think the reason why the modern toys don't even rank at this point is because how, like we mentioned before, we lumped everything, like Transformers, it's everything, all 40 years of it. It's Masters of the Universe, it's all 40 plus years of it. It's not specific to this character for this mold for this, that, because that would have just made everything way too,
or maybe it just adds confusing weight to the argument that a lot of people say that the nothing original comes out lately, because we've only had one toy that originated in the 2000s or plus, and yeah, 6 from the 90s. So that's interesting.
It's a testament to like how everything nowadays is just, you know,
intellectual property.
Yeah,
what's that?
Intellectual property. Yep.
Yeah, like it's not about trying to make something new. They're always keeping a franchise alive, and it kind of goes to show you that we need more creativity in our toys. So,
So although we've only had two Hasbro original toys, Hasbro at this point probably owns about 22 toys that we've talked about overall. So that's how that works. As far as the categories go, the biggest mentions for today, we had 4 electronic toys, 6 action figures, 4 board games, probably about 3 craft, what we considered craft toys. So right now, the race is a 2-man race here. We've been talking about board games. We have 16 toys that were considered board games so far, 15 action figures. So action figures is one behind, and then it's a long way until the third place, which is 8 for wheeled toys, and then 7 for electronic toys, 4 for stuffed toys, and 4 for outside toys, and 4 for craft toys. Mike, who's it going to be, board games or action figures?
Action figures, because I don't know. Like you said, you're the only one that has the final list currently, so you can reveal it to us and have us all be shocked, but I know the Geekcast Radio Network and how we do shit around here, so I'm fairly certain the action figures are going to make a good old comeback in the top 25, and every time you're listing off these numbers, all I can think of is, what about the partridge in a pear tree?
Closer to Christmas.
That's right.
Rodimus, any thoughts so far on what you've heard revealed today, or what you anticipate from when you listen to the next one?
I expect a lot of the bigger names. You know, I'm a little bit surprised that Power Rangers didn't rank a little higher, only because of the phenomenon that it had created. Some of them that I'm surprised that they ended up being as high as they were. I thought that they would end up being lower. I think the top 25 are going to be all bangers, like, you know, really good, you know, franchises and properties and what have you. But that's the thing. They're going to end up being like the long-staying franchises that have stuck with us for so many decades. Right. So
we had a little bit of everything today. Like I said, we had a new resurgence from the electronic toys, which we hadn't seen much of with PlayStation, Sega, arcade games, Atari. We had like some of those just all-time classics like Viewmaster, Etch-a-Sketch, and Silly Putty, and Light Bright. So the Easy Bake Oven made an appearance. So definitely some big ones that have already been knocked out. That's what happens when you have this top 100, because there's only so many spots. So the top 25 is going to be interesting to see the reactions and the order. This is one that I think most people, we've had countdowns before where I feel like it's been easier to predict the top, like our, you know, animated series list. I think everybody knew that once we got to, you know, once we were getting there, some of those types of things. I think this one's going to be a little tricky for people to figure out what number one is going to be. So Mike, take it away. Let's get out of here.
We'll be back with much more fun. Now don't you change that channel, son.
Do you ever catch yourself wondering about those old retro and classic toys you grew up with? Maybe reminiscing about the amazing toys you received for your birthdays or Christmases? Yeah, we do too. So we created a podcast to talk all about those amazing toys. Catch the Toy Rewind podcast each week as the brothers Newland discuss and learn the history behind some of the best toys from years past. You can listen on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or pretty much anywhere you get podcasts. Also, be sure to check out ToyRewindPodcast.com for more content about those classic toys you loved.
Hi, I'm Dan, and I'm the host of the Rock Nerd Radio Show, which airs live on HudsonRiverRadio.com every Wednesday evening at 8:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. It also gets backed up as a podcast, which you can find on your preferred podcasting platform. Every week on my show, I talk about all kinds of pop culture. I talk about music, I talk about movies, TV, comics, collectibles, and so much more. I also feature a guest on my show periodically, which you might enjoy. I have a couple of special segments on my show, one called The Cover Song of the Week and My Favorite Thing in the World This Week. If you think this sounds cool, check it out sometime. I hope you do.
What was that universal greeting again? Never mind, I remember.
Ba weep grana, weep ninny bong.
Hey guys, it's Rodimus Primal, and be sure to check out my YouTube channel. Join me as I have Transformers discussions, retrospectives, toy reviews, and more. You can also follow me on Twitter at Rodimus Primal, as well as Facebook and Instagram at Rodimus Primal Show. Transform and roll out, and be sure to check out my content till all are one.
Last big party of the summer, folks. Let's go out with a bang.
On the Simplistic Reviews podcast, we talk movies. We talk TV. We talk...
Hello, Julie, what the heck are you doing?
Trying to make our spot sound more exciting by adding explosions.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you could have got the point across with sound effects, not the real thing.
Car, car.
Download the show on iTunes or at simplisticreviews.blogspot.com.
I'm sure your insurance company will cover that.
No, they won't.
No, they probably won't.
Heidi, 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 ho! Break is over, here's the show!
Alright, thank you for joining us here on the Top 100 Toys Countdown. I don't know why that script says Transformers, that was 2 years ago. If you'd like to get in contact with us and leave feedback for the show, there are several ways to do so. Visit the website geekcastradio.com where you can listen to and comment on all of our content. Send any email you have to feedback@geekcastradio.com. You can check us out on all the podcatching clients that are out there, Spotify, Apple, all that stuff. Follow us on X. It's at Geekcast Radio for the network. It's at TF Toycast for Toycast. I am at TFG and Mike. Kev, what's your Twitter?
At Optimus Solo.
And Rodimus?
At Rodimus Primal on Twitter/X. You can find me at Rodimus Primal Fan Show on Instagram, Rodimus Primal Fan Show on Facebook, and of course my YouTube channel, which, you know, is Rodimus Primal.
There you go. Become a fan on Facebook. Go to facebook.com/geekcastradio.org and also check out podcast over there as well. Next time, in part 5 of this podcast series, we continue the countdown with numbers 25 to number 1. For now, I'm TFG and Mike with
Optimus Solo and
Rodimus Primal.
Close out with the fact that toys are
beyond good, beyond evil, beyond your wildest imagination.